Lately, lots of critics have been attributing the crisis in American education to the fact that students aren't reading the right books. Alan Bloom, E.D. Hirsch, and William Bennett have criticized the scattershot nature of courses where Shakespeare and Dante rub elbows with Stephen King. Great teaching and a great society, they argue, can't thrive without the great books. Wayne Booth agrees. In his book, The Vocation of a Teacher, Booth claims that freshman English is the most important course in the college curriculum. It's our last chance, he says, to grab business and science majors and inoculate them with a dose of Shakespeare and Browning. Booth faults universities for handing this course over to graduate assistants and part-time instructors, what he calls the vast army of the underpaid. I've done a stint in that army myself, and I appreciate that Booth cares about a basic course that most of his colleagues ignore. But despite his good intentions, Booth's technical approach to improving education by raising English department budgets and adding more literature requirements doesn't exactly stir the soul. In fact, The Vocation of a Teacher reads a lot like an interoffice memo. But in contrast to Booth and the rest of the great books gang, another critic, Robert Coles, insists that education depends not so much on certain texts or certain courses, but on our ability to listen to the stories of other people and all kinds of literature. Coles has written over 40 books, including the Children of Crisis series, which won a Pulitzer Prize. His latest book, The Call of Stories, draws on 3 decades' worth of his experience as a teacher and illustrates the unpredictable ways in which students take stories to heart. There's the Atlanta high school student in the early 60s who reads Pride and Prejudice and begins to recognize, in Austen's picture of 19th century class snobbery, some of her own attitudes towards desegregation. Or there's the polio victim who reads Huck Finn and shakes himself out of a self-pity as paralyzing as his disease. I had some good talks with Huck and Jim, he tells Coles. I dreamed about them. I'd wake up and I'd know I'd just been out west, on the Mississippi. Those guys straightened me out. In this age of critical theory, which has elevated books to the status of texts, Coles isn't embarrassed to agree with this boy that books are also friends. He makes us remember what it means to literally fall in love with a story. In his own psychiatric practice, Coles learned from his mentor, the doctor and poet William Carlos Williams, to actively listen to patients' stories. Williams said, "They're all we carry with us on this trip we take. We owe it to each other to respect our stories." Coles' tolerance of other people's stories demonstrates more social generosity than the elitism of those education critics whose minds have been closed to all but a few stories. In The Call of Stories, Coles writes that any narrative that offers a storyteller's moral imagination at work can enable us to take to heart what is, really, a gift of grace. It's a profound message that all of us, especially readers and teachers, need to hear.